Oh, that's all too familiar, isn't it? I think that's why that series has had such success, because it really connects with our work environment in a lot of levels. A lot of us really relate to some of those characters in The Office. This month we are talking about The Office. We're looking at the third of our lives that we spend working. And a lot of us have found ourselves in this environment, like these characters that we looked at here, where the one thing we look forward to is a day like pretzel day. And that's our highlight of our working day. Or we have a boss that defines productivity by implementing new ideas that only appear productive, right? We've been there before. Think about all the different jobs that you have had. Think about the worst job you've ever had. And just then, you had a job pop in your mind, didn't you? It was almost instantly. You know what your worst job was. Worst job you've ever had. I want you to take a minute, and we're going to do like we did last week, and I want you to share with someone not related to you, either turn to someone beside you or behind you, in front of you. Share with them your worst job ever, and let them share with you theirs as well. So take about a minute and share amongst yourselves. Our worst job ever. That's kind of the opposite of what we looked at last week, isn't it? Last week we looked at our dream job. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I believe that we should shoot for that job. I believe that we should be working toward that job. I believe that we should be praying for that job. I fully believe that each of us are made with unique gifts and talents and passions that God has given to us as an individual. And I believe that we should find places where we can use those gifts and passions and talents that we've been made for certain tasks. And we find those tasks that use our gifts and passions and talents, then we're going to have a dream job, and we're going to feel fulfillment and meaning and purpose in our work. Whatever your dream job is, I firmly believe that you should keep that dream. Do not give up on it. But alongside of that idealistic mindset is the truth that not every job you work at is going to be your dream job. Sometimes there's a wait to get to your dream job. Sometimes we have to work jobs that aren't our dream job in order to get to our dream job. I mean, maybe your dream job is to be a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. You know, we'll be equal opportunity here. And in order to get to that dream job, you have to build up some financial stability in your family first. So maybe you'll need to get a job before you can get that dream job. Maybe some of you are too far along in your career that you're not going to be able to drop out, and if you just stick in it just a few more years, it'll be very beneficial for you financially. And you won't be able to start your dream job until you retire. But don't give up that hope. Don't give up that dream. Now, I remember working at the drive-thru at the Dairy Queen in Grayson, Kentucky, after I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in Bible. That seemed real useful. And I worked the drive-thru, and I would answer. They'd drive up to the little intercom there, and I'd say, "Welcome to Dairy Queen. May I take your order?" And they would say, "Yes, ma'am. I would like a..." That was embarrassing. I was 24, 25 years old, and my voice still hadn't changed. I'm 33, and I think I've given up all hope because I still sound like a junior higher. So I decided, you know, to save us both the embarrassment, because they'd drive up and I had facial hair and, you know, we'd both kind of not make eye contact. I had to develop a drive-through voice. So I would answer the intercom, "Welcome to Dairy Queen. May I take your order?" And that really, that there's no exaggeration to that story whatsoever. Oh, you know, but we've all had jobs like that, you know? My Dairy Queen job was my job in between job, right? And we've had jobs like that. And I'd assume that most of us have had jobs along those lines. Like for instance, you have the job to get the bills paid job, right? And you have I have this job to start the process to get to my dream job. We have the job that I couldn't find a better job. Right? We've had those. A lot of us have. And most of us have found ourselves all over this continuum of jobs. I mean, if we were going to take this, you know, just imagine a huge pendulum here on the stage. If we were to take it way over here to just the off-the-charts dream job, okay? I shared with you guys that I've worked some dream jobs. I'm in one now. And that's kind of here, kind of your standard level dream job, okay? But let's go way over here just to get a nice view of this whole continuum. Just off-the-charts dream job. The job where you absolutely love what you do every minute of every day. You get paid much more than what you're worth. That's nice. And you got tons of time for your family. That's off-the-charts dream job, right? And we take it way over here. We pendulum way over here to just the worst job ever. Right? And now the worst jobs that you guys were talking about were more like in this area. Okay? We've had some pretty bad ones. Maybe a little over here. All right? But worst job ever. All right? Like a roadkill collector. That's a bad job. I mean, your day, your life is you drive a truck with a logo on the side of a squished critter. And you've got a luggage rack with industrial-sized snow shovels. And very thick gloves are your best friends. And that's a pretty bad job. Or what about being a sparring partner for a heavyweight boxer? That's your job. Your job is to wake up, go into work, and get beat up. And then go home and go to sleep, wake up, and go back and do it again. Those are bad jobs. And so we have this continuum here of jobs, of just an assortment of jobs that we could have. And for the majority of us, we're really more all gathered here in the middle. Some of us might lean this way a little bit, where we've got a job that we really do enjoy most of the time. There's some frustrations that come along with it. We feel like we're getting paid fairly for the work we do. And so we're a little closer to this side. Or maybe you lean a little closer to this side. Maybe you're in a job where you can tolerate your coworkers on a good day. Your boss micromanages you. And you don't get paid what you should get paid for the type of work that you do. And so maybe your pendulum's a little further over here. And so we looked at last week, you know, my dream job. But the fact is that a lot of us really are right here in the middle. So as we look at these two far ends and we're right here in the middle, how do we find purpose and satisfaction and meaning in jobs right here? I mean, is there a place in the Bible that tells us what to do about this? I mean, does Jesus address these type of jobs? Did Jesus say somewhere, if you're working your job in between jobs, then this is how you are to conduct yourself? Or if you're working your job just to pay the bills job, then this is how to find meaning, fulfillment, and purpose. Well, I believe that God's Word does give us some great advice on this. If you would, go on and turn to a little book in your New Testament called Colossians. You start at the beginning of your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, and then you get into some smaller letters. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3, and then go down and find verse 23. Chapter 3, verse 23 reads, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Whatever. That's a big word. Especially when we're applying it to our subject today. We're talking about all the different types of jobs that we could have. And we look at this continuum. And that word, whatever, it covers anything in this continuum. from off the charts, best job to roadkill collector. And most of us are right here in the middle, so it would definitely include us. Whatever. If you're at a job in between jobs job, or if you're a I have to pay the bills job, or if you're at a job to lead me to my dream job, that is whatever you do. He doesn't say that if you like where you work, then apply this work ethic. Or if you and your boss and your fellow workers and those of you who work with you, those that you supervise, those that are over you, if you all work well together, then this is how you should work. It doesn't say if you're planning on staying at this job for any length of time, then this is the work ethic that you should buy into. That's not what he says. He says very plainly and simply, whatever you do. Now, in your bulletin notes, if you flip your bulletins over, if you've already got them there, we're going to take this very personally today. So we're going to be looking at I, me this, me that, I this, I that. So I want us to take this personally. So as we get started, whatever I do. So go ahead and write that in there. Whatever I do. As we get started in building this understanding of finding meaning and purpose and fulfillment in our job today. So this work ethic that we find here, it should be used no matter where we find ourselves. No matter what you do, no matter where you work, no matter what your situation. I mean, unless you're a drug dealer or a pimp or, you know. You need to get out of that job, okay? That wouldn't fall under this as far as being something that you could do and some of the other things we're going to look at, you definitely wouldn't be able to do in that job. But whatever you do, we're told in this verse that we are to work at it with all of our heart. So let's personalize that. Whatever I do, I am to work at it with all of my heart. Does this mean that we are to work 4 hours when we're getting paid to work 8? No. Does working with all your heart mean that you should only put forth enough effort just to get by? Does working with all your heart mean that you're working hard when the boss is around, but when the boss is away, you're slacking off? Does this include hours of Windows Solitaire or internet games? You know, sure, a break for a few minutes is great. It's healthy. Studies have been shown that it's nice. Take a break. Give your mind a rest. Play a game, do something off your work. But if you're spending hours upon hours surfing the internet or playing games at work, I don't believe that falls in the category of working with all of your heart. The word here used for heart is kind of interesting. It's kind of peculiar because it's not the normal word that's used for heart. There's another Greek word that's mostly used for heart. This word, when it's translated in other places, most other places, is translated mostly as one of two things, soul and life. It's deeper than just your heart. So this verse is saying that we should work at it with all of our soul, with all of our life, 100% no matter what your job is. You know, a lot of us get frustrated at our jobs because we feel like our job's meaningless or that we're not really doing anything that is purposeful. We don't get satisfaction from our work. So we get frustrated. But how do you expect to get satisfaction from a job that you just do enough to get by at? How do you expect to get fulfillment out of a job that you're not pouring yourself into? See, I made the mistake of applying this work ethic when I worked at Dairy Queen. I was asked one evening to mop the dining room. And so I mopped with all of my soul, all right? I mopped with all of my heart. And I got done, and I got to step back as we all would like to step back from our work and be like God with his work and step back and say, that's good, all right? I saw a little bald head guy with an earring in there, and I knew I did a good job then. But the unfortunate part was that my boss also noticed that I did a good job. So then the next night, guess who was asked to mop the floors? And then the night after that, and then I was the official floor mopper. and anything else that most people would do halfway, I got asked to do. It's because I bought into this work ethic. Whatever I do, I am to work with all of my heart. Why? Why? Because I serve someone greater than my boss, someone higher than my boss. I represent someone more glorious than my company. See, I'm told to work like this because I belong to God. And my work is a reflection of that relationship. Last week, we learned that God is a working God, and we've been created in His image, in the image of a working God. Our work ethic reflects our relationship with God. Your boss sees it. Your coworkers see it. Those who you supervise, they see it. Our work ethic is a reflection of our faith. And it either proves or disproves our claim as a Christian. They watch what you do. They watch how you work. And if you can't claim to be sold out to this God and you serve Him, and you're just working enough to get by, something's not clicking there. Our work reflects our relationship with God. Now, we've been focusing on this one little verse here, 3:23. We've kind of broken it down a little bit. Now, let's kind of zoom out a little bit, because I want to make sure that we're getting this verse in the right context. All right? So if we zoom out just a little bit, and we try and figure out, what's Paul talking about in this section? Who is he talking to? What has been inspiring him through the Holy Spirit in this section? Well, if you zoom out a little bit, you'll notice that Paul is talking to Christian slaves in Colossae. Now, many of you might feel already that this relates even more with your job. You say, oh, he's writing to slaves. I can relate to that. I feel like a slave at my job. Well, you're really not. You have the freedom to quit. You have the freedom to walk away if you'd like. You have the freedom to take legal action if you are sexually harassed or if you are abused at your place of work. You get to go home at night and be with your family. You get to sleep in your house, in your bed. A slave did not have these luxuries. As much as you'd like to think that you're a slave, oh, you're not. Nowhere near it. Not by any stretch of the imagination. See, Paul was addressing Christians who were slaves. And he's addressing slaves, and he's saying, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart, as if you're serving God and not men. You know, some of you might be thinking, well, why didn't Paul tell them to rebel? You know, because Paul says that in Christ there's neither slave nor free. You know? You're not a slave in Christ. So why didn't he just tell them to rebel? Or maybe Paul could send out an email to all the slave masters. Say, hey guys, you know, slavery is really wrong. You should release your slaves. That wasn't going to happen. Slavery was ingrained in their lifestyle. It was woven in their lifestyle. And what's interesting, too, is as we're looking at this passage, Paul isn't concerned about their situation or their circumstance. Paul's concerned about something much more important. Paul's concerned about their hearts, their character. Paul has the gall to instruct slaves to adopt this work ethic in the dreadful situation that they were in. This work ethic was given to a group of people that went way past the end of our pendulum on the continuum of jobs that we could be a part of. Worst job ever. Slave on the other side of that wall. And Paul is talking to these guys, slaves, telling them, you need to adopt this lifestyle. No matter what you're doing, you can do it for God. That's liberating. No matter who you serve, you're serving God. I believe this verse was meant to liberate those who were bound on earth as slaves. I believe this verse was meant to bring meaning and purpose to their lives. And we're talking about slaves. Bottom, lowest. A lot of people treat their pets better than slaves. And Paul's bringing meaning and purpose to the work they do. So if this verse was meant to bring liberation and meaning and purpose to slaves, how much more can we benefit from this work ethic? Dream job or not, your job can have purpose and meaning, and you can stand back from your job and you can say, that's good. You know, if we zoom out even more, we zoom out to the whole book of Colossians. And as Dwight shared earlier, the book of Colossians has a central theme, and that central theme is that Jesus is the biggest thing in their lives. Nothing is bigger than Jesus. Nothing should ever compete with Jesus because it can't. Jesus is superior to all things in my life. That truth is true today just the same as it was true when Paul wrote this letter. See, there was a problem for the Christians in Colossae. They had other teachings that were challenging the significance of a Christ-centered life. They had other philosophies that were challenging the significance of living in Christ. The supremacy of Christ was on trial in the hearts of the Colossian Christians. And we fall into this same trap, don't we? We allow things that are less than Christ to become more important than Jesus in our life, to become more influential in our lives. We give value based on the type of work that someone does. You know, if we took a very successful lawyer and put him side by side with a cafeteria worker, even a cafeteria worker, dishwasher in an elementary school, a lot of us would place them on different levels. My friends, that's wrong. Biblically, that's wrong. It's wrong to do it to others, and it's equally wrong to do it to yourself. Fill in these blanks in your bulletin. My value is not based on what I do for a living, but rather who I serve while doing it. You know, you may not feel valued at your place of work. You might have coworkers, you might have a boss that encourages that feeling of not feeling valued. You may feel that the type of work that you do is not a valuable type of work. The things that you do, you might think, this has no purpose. How am I bettering the world around me at my job? But I assure you, God finds value in you. And God finds value in the work that you do. And if in your work you are working for Him, you will be working for someone who values you and who values your work. A lot of us struggle with our workplace because it's our main source of security. It's a paycheck. And we need our job. We need it. We need to be successful because we need to keep that paycheck. We need to be more successful because we want more paycheck. We worry about these things. I want you to fill in these blanks. My trust is not in the security I get from my job. It is in Jesus. A lot of us are worried about job security. We're worried about financial security. Friends, you are in the hands of God Almighty. Put your trust in Him. Find your security in Him. Meaning, purpose, and satisfaction in my work are ultimately the result of putting Jesus in the center. Our dedication to Jesus as a Christian should affect the way we clock in every week. No matter where you work, no matter what you do for a living, you can have purpose, you can have meaning and satisfaction in your work if you are working for God. Paul tells these Christians in Colossae that they need to get their mind off of earthly things. They need to get their mind into heavenly things. They need to get their mind off of this horizontal plane that we live on and get their mind fixed in a vertical understanding of things. Our hope is an eternal inheritance, not an earthly retirement. As a Christian, our life is bigger than the things around us. We should have a vertical work ethic in our horizontal world. Do you think the prophet Isaiah had his dream job? Isaiah, God came to Isaiah and he told him, hey, I'm going to have you go out and I'm going to have you preach to these people. I'm going to have you speak to these people and you're going to share all kinds of wisdom and knowledge with them. And they're not going to listen to a thing you say. Isaiah went out and did that. He went out and preached to deaf ears. He did so for years without any results, without anyone coming forward. Do you think he loved that job? I doubt that it was his dream job. But it was very clear that he was not working on a horizontal work ethic. Isaiah was working on a vertical work ethic that brought meaning and purpose to his work, because he poured his heart into what he did because he was doing it for God. How often do you think Joseph, the son of Jacob, the one who owned that coat of beautiful colors, Joseph, how often do you think he had to keep reminding himself about this vertical hope, this vertical ethic, instead of his horizontal circumstances? Joseph was sold into slavery by his very own brothers. He was then falsely accused of attempted rape and thrown into jail where he was forgotten. What end of this continuum do you think he was on? Do you think he loved his job? But who was he serving? Where did his ethic come from? He had a vertical work ethic in a horizontal world. His meaning and purpose were not determined by his situation or his circumstance, but rather who he served. Hosea. We talked about Hosea not too long ago. Who would have wanted his job description? Do you think he had the dream job? God told him to go out and marry an adulterous woman who later, after he had married her, started prostituting herself out to other men. And God said, I want you to go back and get her and bring her back home. How many of us would read that job description and say, ooh, 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 ooh? Yes, I'd love a job where my trust was betrayed and where my love was unreturned. That's the job I want. I doubt any of us would have looked at that job description and wanted that job. But Hosea obeyed God because he had a vertical work ethic. He served God. What about Jesus? How many of us would have looked at Jesus' earthly job description and said, man, that's a job I want. That's my dream job. Jesus' earthly job description was to come down to earth and be humiliated among his own creation, to suffer a death that he didn't deserve on a cross in front of a world that would reject him. What kind of work ethic propelled Jesus? It was a vertical work ethic in spite of his horizontal circumstances. In order to find a new way to clock in, I must adopt this vertical work ethic in my horizontal world. You want meaning, purpose, fulfillment, satisfaction in your job, and you're not in your dream job, and you don't see that anywhere close. Work with this ethic, and you will find meaning and purpose. Keep praying, keep hoping, keep working toward that dream job. Don't give up that hope. I don't want today to be about that. But there are times when you're going to be here, you're going to be here, you might be over here. And I'm telling you that God's word says that we can find meaning and purpose and satisfaction in our work, no matter where we are on this continuum, if we serve God and we do so with all of our hearts. I want to encourage you this morning with all of that. Look for your dream job. Search for your dream job. Work for it. And even if you get your dream job and you don't have this down pat, your dream job is not going to be near as fulfilling as it should be. It's only going to be that if you're serving God and you're pouring out your heart and working for Him, not for men.